greetings from them. They are grateful. Thanks, Linda. We actually got one from the from over there. They're grateful that you allow me to stay for brunch every 2 months or so, and that way I can catch up with some of the folks there that I don't see during the week. The place looks a little different today with the pews not there. Thank you to all of you who participated in the cleanup yesterday. That was a great effort, I thought, by everyone who came out. And of course, today is a day, and I think the gospel reading captures this perfectly, where we were remembering this incredible sacrifice that was undertaken by people in the Commonwealth during the two wars, and then onward through the Korean War and the NATO missions and the Afghanistan participation, when we were seeking to do the right thing. Where none of us are ever sure with war if it's ever really the right thing, but people do their best. And we're remembering the sacrifices they made today. We're remembering those who have gone before us, encouraging us in our faith, drawing us closer to the heart of what good living feels like, looks like. And so All Souls Sunday is part of what we're doing today. And you did read out names, I think, during the prayers of the people. Thank you, Linda. And I was thinking about the gospel reading as this really nice amalgam of beauty and hard truth. The beauty of the temple. People are just admiring all of this great art that has been created, and then Jesus brings them into reality with the rest of what he says. And that's, I think, really what Remembrance Sunday is about. But I want to speak today to you, I want to speak to you today from Isaiah, mostly. We breathe, we imagine, we play, and we work in a world that God is creating. When we say that God created the heavens and the earth, we speak the truth. We honor the extraordinary, impossible to imagine achievement of the universe's magnificence, the fabulous textures and hues of this blue planet, so on display when the sun shines. A planet that's awash in all of the ingredients that allow molecules to come to consciousness. But God is more than a creator past tense. As Isaiah says, God is presently creating. And this makes a huge difference to how we understand our lives and our partnership with God. How many of you have ever lived through a house renovation? I won't even look at Melody, because that's a whole different level of house renovation you guys have gone through. But I think many of us have. Sooner or later, most of us do. Often we continue to live in the house while that new kitchen or bathroom or rec room is being built. Sometimes, and this is actually a better metaphor, people build a house and move into it before it's finished. In either case, the house is a home. It's a place we love, feel comfortable in, and cherish, but it's a bit tricky because there are certain rooms where there might be nails still lying around, or parts of the house that have no heat, or aren't fully secured. The world that God created is, as the scriptures say, very good. But God isn't finished yet. Blueprints exist for the finished product that are as aspirational as universal justice and peace. Neither shall they hurt nor destroy in all my holy mountain. Last time I checked, those rooms don't have heat quite yet. If we only understand God as creator, past tense, it's as if we're saying God has lost his architectural, or shall we say, carpenter skills. As if God were creating a masterpiece and at one point had a lot of energy, and well, now that's all in the past, so God just spends God's time looking at the plans, scribbling on the edges, maybe erasing a bit. Now, because human beings have screwed up, as we say, technical word, through the long gradual fall, all God seems capable of vis-a-vis creativity is sending us people like the prophets and ultimately even Jesus to give us a kind of romantic hope that we can, if we're lucky, dredge up that lost perfection, that lost paradise. Crosby, Stills, and Nash and Young, I think, sang years ago to bring us back to the garden. Then, if that's true, that God just created in the past, then what we do here each Sunday is no more really than holding up these moral examples from the past that we urge each other to heed. But our foundational stories tell something very different. For I am about to create new heavens and a new earth. I am about to create Jerusalem as a joy and its people as a delight. And the word create, bara, in Hebrew, it's a special word that is used throughout Genesis chapter 1, only of God, when God created, bara, the heavens and the earth. That's the word. In the language of poetry, our first reading from Isaiah is then proclaiming that in the midst of the devastations caused by the exile and the feeble attempts to rebuild after it, God is and will be creating. In other words, theirs was a world in chaos like our own. When we look at the ongoing horrors of war played out so powerfully in Ukraine, as we remember those who sacrificed so much, we might become hopeless, or at least we will, if God doesn't have skin in the game. That's actually another good metaphor, for God does have skin in the game, in the person of Jesus, and by extension, through the Latin phrase, the totus toto Christi, the total Christ. Those who through baptism have been included in Christ, so in our persons. And this is the clue as to how. Because it's one thing to say God is presently creating, but how? How is God doing this? Our small attempts to get something going in and through St. Matthew may seem ridiculous. Some days I feel that way. And then I do bring to mind this central truth that God has skin in the game, that God is working in such a way that, to use another line from our first reading, the former things shall not come to mind. So this ongoing creative act of God isn't just a repackaging, if you will, or a refreshing ongoingly. This is a genuinely new thing, as new as the Big Bang was new as the original creation was new. And that's part of the reason Isaiah uses the same word. Our existence as Christians is not simply a repackaging of religion from the deep past. It is new creation. I was thinking about an example that might make some sense to us, how this works, and I'm going to pick on Mr. Bates. So think about Lloyd, Mr. 80%. That's an inside joke. There was a visitor once who came to the church and said to Lloyd after the service, "Lloyd, you're 80% of what's really good around here." So I just say, he's Mr. 80%. Now, but think about Lloyd. He's been playing away on that piano for a long time. As a jazz musician, he's actually given a large part of his life to drawing out the piano's potential. Its amazing flexibility as an instrument. Its subtleness. Its, I think you'd agree with me, Lloyd, its sheer melodic capacity that can never be fully tapped. He's been creative, and he continues to create. Now, but here's the thing that's so genuinely new about what Mr. Lloyd does. Before 1700, no one had ever thought to play a piano before, because a piano had not been invented. It took the history of music and then the gradual evolution of stringed instruments, leading finally to the harpsichord, before musical engineers figured out how to make a piano, how to hit strings instead of pluck them. And then this infinite creativity that would unfold over the next centuries became possible. God's ongoing new creative act is kind of like this. There's the long development of evolution and creation, however we want to look at it. First the apes, then early hominids, then finally Homo sapiens sapiens. The piano of creatures, if you will. Infinitely subtle, flexible, full of melodic and beauty in a way that is hard to tap. And God did not create in this infinitely long way, and continue to create in this infinitely long way, in order for it to all fall apart. And so God made sure that this creative impulse would never die. God becomes part of the scene, if you will, that God is painting, so that the best is yet to come, so that the new is actually truly new. Now, this is not just a sincere bromide when we then say the best is yet to come, a kind of positive thinking phrase that helps us survive tough times. I can imagine sitting around the supper table in Kiev tonight. They say that to each other, the best is yet to come. It's actually really good Christian theology. We access this amazing perspective by faith, by trusting the wisdom that is emerging as we mature, by our cooperation with each other. Our youth might have slipped away from us, opportunities might have come and gone, but God's wisdom is growing in and through us. Now, of course, this wisdom, as it evolves, involves change. And that change comes with grief and a willingness to take risks. Jesus knew in his mind, as he talked about the temple, that there was a new temple coming, even more amazing than the temple the disciples were so admiring. The temple of his body spread throughout the world. So we hold each other's hands, we support, we encourage, we share the blueprints of God's aspirations, of God's house. One who dies at 100 will be considered a youth. The wolf and the lamb will feed together. And then the prophet moves from statements of God's intentions to human possibilities. They shall build houses and inhabit them. They shall plant vineyards and eat their fruit. They shall not build and another inhabit. They shall not plant and another eat. They shall not labor in vain or bear children for calamity. God's, for I am about to create something new, is always fulfilled through they shall build. They shall build. And so our building, our labor, is always a litmus test of our theology and faith. Not that we work to get God's approval, We work and serve with joy, for God has already given us approval. And I think this is the way to read that strange second reading that comes upon us every 3 years, filled with all of these warnings about working and not working and being idle. If God is creating, if God is in effect saying your fulfillment comes through working with me, living your life in light of my ongoing project, well then the temptation to idleness or wasting our time simply betrays some sort of fundamental misunderstanding of what's going on, but also a fundamental misunderstanding of who we are. Each of us has an incredibly important part to play, not just around this building, but out there with all your people, as our Indigenous sisters and brothers say, amongst all your relations. That is everything that exists. And we notice in our society these signs of despair, maybe in your own family. It may from time to time seize your own heart like a vice grip. And we feel it, we feel simply like crawling under the blanket. Okay, one day of rest is good. Maybe a week under the blanket is about as much as most of us could handle. It's not that rest isn't important. But you know, we are not people that will ultimately just slither away and pretend that what's going on isn't going on. We have the capacities to face our world. Kathleen Norris, famous spirituality writer, talks about how we reclaim a life of creative cooperation with God. It's by re-engaging in ordinary acts, keeping a clean kitchen, walking for exercise, enjoying the breeze on your neck, getting involved in meaningful ways in the community, your congregation, your town, as well as simply enjoying people and the challenges that come from living well. When's the last time you went out with someone just for a two-hour coffee, just to talk, just to enjoy each other's company? And we can do this versus what Paul talks about in Thessalonians, versus being a busybody or simply giving in to criticism or judgmentalism, because we have faith that God is working, creating, even if all we hear on the news are rumors of ill will and things falling apart. The truth is actually far more encouraging. So right now, we're living in a house that is clearly not finished. It's still being built. Oddly, that's what we're trying to do around this space. We're trying to renovate. This is what we're trying to do in our families and in our lives. And we know the blueprint is amazing. And we've been created precisely to partner with the Spirit's wisdom to get on with the job. That's our faith. That's our faith. So let's enjoy the process. Amen.